You know, he's right. It is me. Maybe I'm kind of a right-wing type of healthcare provider sitting behind the microphone in this chair right now. Or, you know, maybe I'm not. Maybe what I'm telling you is mainstream. Good morning. Welcome to the program. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. It's very good to be with you today. Driving here and seeing the sunrise is worth the price of admission. Whatever I accomplished today, it was worth it just to be up and look to the east and see God's glorious handiwork and the painting that he put on display this morning. I don't know how long it lasted. I know that I wanted to take a picture at Love's Lookout. If you're ever bored and you say, I'm tired of being stuck indoors and you want to drive down Highway 69, and come to Love's Lookout so you can see a sunrise, it would be worth it. You can see as far as you want to. I think they call it Lookout Mountain. Anyway, it's good to be with you today. You know, every so often I'll have somebody come to see me and they'll explain to me the most bizarre, unusual symptoms. And I'm thinking, tell me one more time, how many doctors have you been to? And they, as they go down the list, I mean, sometimes it's just marveling and perplexing all at the same time how, you know, there's an adamant response if they can't find anything wrong. And, you know, when I ask questions, I start to think to myself, okay, there's some pretty obvious things right here. Let me cover one simple topic with you. If you've noticed that there's just something that's gone awry and you don't feel well, one question that we might want to ask is there anything that I could be consuming that might be just a little bit toxic to my DNA? You know, all it really takes is, you've heard the phrase before, one man's food is another man's poison. And yes, I realize that diet soft drinks are the rage and they are super popular. I didn't even waste my time or energy looking up the stats on what the dollars in revenue they generate each year. That's a waste of time. I would imagine it's a lot. Let me see, would that be in the hundreds, the thousands, the hundreds of thousands, the millions, or the billions? Well, I'm guessing it begins and ends with a B. Of course, B could also be for bad. Anyway. But sometimes when I examine a person, I'm thinking, okay, this can't be right for a person to have this many severe migraine headaches and have these weird symptoms neurologically all over the body, unless there was something that was going to poison them. And sometimes that's the crux of the matter. They're consuming a diet soft drink, or they're trying to take in a diet beverage for the purpose of losing weight. But you know what, you start to ask the question, are all these horrible symptoms I have, is it just a coincidence? How come nobody can figure out? Or, maybe I'm consuming something that's my thorn in the flesh. Just like Superman, he could stop a train. Unless you put kryptonite near him, then he couldn't stop the train. Of course, kryptonite would make him very weak. You know, that's only my analogy. I don't believe in Superman. Anyway, one particular unique line of research that's been done on artificial sweeteners, they show that they can actually create what's called insulin resistance. And how do they do that? You drink a beverage that's sweetened with Splenda or sucralose, acesulfame K, NutraSweet, aspartame, saccharin, you can keep on going. And all of a sudden alters the bacteria that live inside of your gut. And there are trillions of those guys. But I can tell you this, your health fortunes are going to rise or fall based on the types of beneficial bacteria that live in your gut. Now, just so I can lay this out very, very simply, if your brain weighs 3 pounds, that is known as your central nervous system. You've heard of the brain before. I'm assuming you have one, unless it's been surgically removed for a variety of reasons. I'm only joking. I doubt that's taking place. Although, in the lining of your small intestine, you have what's called your enteric nervous system. And you know, it's so fascinating. It's almost completely, totally identical to the brain, but it's not exactly the brain that's in your skull. But I would say this is your second brain, and it's the brain that's in your nervous system. I mean, in your small intestine. Well, so the types of neurons in your small intestine, they look identical to neurons in the brain. I just think this is so fascinating. And so enter the idea of neurotransmitters. Everybody's heard of serotonin before. Usually when you have plenty of serotonin coursing through your veins or ending up at its desired destination, you feel really good. You feel like things are going to go well in the world. If you have a lack of serotonin, this is when you wake up at 2 in the morning. You say, great, this is not going to work out today. I can't see a positive way this is going to spin. This is just hopeless. So you know as well as I do that a lot of the antidepressant medications are going to be based on serotonin. Okay, something that bolsters serotonin levels, whether it prevents the body from enzymatically breaking it down or it bolsters it by increasing the production of serotonin. But bam, there you have it. And so I would say the vast majority of people that are known to be very, very violent, they're probably taking some type of antidepressant while they're incarcerated. Okay? Not all, but there are some. With the expectation or the hope this is going to help control their violent ways or their violent behavior. Are most of these men? Well, I've read studies that show there's quite a few women that are very violent. I know that's not the cultural idea or pretty norm to think of, but that's the way it is. And so in the year 2020, you know, let me just frame this for you. Back in the 80s when I was in chiropractic college, and I mean the 1980s, not the 1880s, the 1980s, the most common forms of disability were an individual would hire an attorney after going to a doctor, and they would come before a disability judge and they would say, my client is not able to hold down a job because he has an amputated leg, or he has his hand is missing, or he's had such a severe crushing injury to his spine where the vertebrae have been crushed in a horrible industrial accident that he can no longer, you know, serve in the capacity of working for a living as a, you know, laying brick or concrete, you know, something like that. And so the judge would say, yes, I'm going to give you 50% disability. And so that may take place in the form of receiving a check in the mail from the government or from a settlement saying, okay, it's obvious you can't work. Just like you can imagine if a person lost their eyesight or lost their eyesight and their hearing in an accident, they cannot work on the level they used to, so they might be entitled to disability. Well, those days, I mean, those things are still valid, don't get me wrong. And I am not trying to make light of it, but you know what the number one cause of disability is in North America in the year 2020? Well, it's anxiety and panic attacks and depression. And I never in a million years would have thought that's coming, but that's where we are today. And so there is a business very close to where I work, and the people that run this business are so sweet to me. They're very kind. I really, really like them. And sometimes they'll take packages if I'm going on my lunch break and running errands and UPS or FedEx comes by. But in this business, they sell, unique products. And when I've asked them before, I said, what is the number one reason why people come in here to buy these products from you? And they've told me very clearly, it's for anxiety. And so your microbiome, the beneficial microbes that live inside of your gut, they have a whole lot to do with how good you feel. And so going back to the idea of artificial sweeteners, so much of the new research on people that consume artificial sweeteners, it completely will set you up for failure. I know what you've heard. They help in weight loss. If you've got diabetes, that's what you should consume. My doctor approves it. The nurses told me to say it. I mean, consume it. I heard a nutritionist, a dietitian say that I should have Diet Dr. Pepper or Diet Coke. Anyway, but the issues are, if you consume a substance that's made of an artificial sweetener, there's a good chance it's not going to be your friend. It's not going to be your ally. As a matter of fact, it's going to work against you. It's going to generate insulin resistance because it alters the good versus the bad bacteria. It tilts it in the favor of the bad bacteria. And so they've done experiments on mice and then again humans. And so I want you to think about this for a second. Many people that are very overweight, or they're definitely morbidly obese, or they're living with type 2 diabetes, they may reach for something other than water or herbal tea. It may be called a diet soda. And so these diet drinks are quite often artificially sweetened with things like sucralose or Splenda or aspartame, just to name a few. And they think in their mind, because my doctor recommended this, this is going to help my blood sugar control. And of course, I've heard 1,000 times, well, I can't drink water, Dr. Morgan, because it doesn't have the flavor that I like. Okay, but the point is, if you use an artificial sweetener, you're actually throwing gas on the fire, or you're adding fuel to the fire. Not good. Now, this is what I've come across right here. And I'm not going to harp on this real long, but I want you to hear this. Artificial sweeteners, one of the other problems that I have a great concern about is they increase the risk of depression. You tell me. What can you do with what God's given you if you feel really, really good? If your mind is clear, if your emotions are in a good place, if you have confidence, if you have clear thoughts, if you can focus your mind and attention, harness it on accomplishing a good work, what can you do? Well, the answer is you can do a whole bunch of good. But if you've got significant depression and anxiety, it's probably going to be hard to reach the full potential of what God has in store for you. Would you agree with that? So a study conducted by researchers at the National Institutes of Health, that's also known as the NIH, you may have heard that in the news recently, they showed that adults who drank artificially sweetened beverages, these are diet drinks in particular, or diet sodas, they were 30% more likely to develop depression than those that did not drink diet soft drinks. Now the study, oh my word, it was huge. You're probably thinking, well, how many did it have? Well, exactly 263,925 people. Now, the age group to me was very interesting. There wasn't a young person in the study. Do not take offense when I tell you the age. 50 to 71 when they enrolled in the study. Don't call me and tell me 50's young. I agree with you. Actually, I've seen a lot of 75-year-old men that I thought, oh my goodness, they are head and shoulders above all the other 75-year-old men. But then again, the reason they're head and shoulders health-wise is because of the sum total of all the decisions they've made in their life and the direction and their discipline. And you may not realize this, but there are some 75-year-old men that are very disciplined. And they have made a concerted effort to change the track or the direction they were heading in. And they have changed towards something that is more life-sustaining. And if a person says, if I eat clean, if I exercise, if I attend church services, that is my ticket to being very healthy. Okay. This study was huge. 263,000, almost 264,000 people. And lo and behold, they were 50 to 71 when they enrolled. It says the risk of depression was greatest among those who drank more than 32 ounces of diet soda drink a day. So the nutshell is, 32 ounces of soda is going to be the greatest risk of depression. You know, I remember years ago, they showed the greatest anxiety with those that drank the most soft drinks a day. That would be sugar. Have y'all ever heard of stevia before? You can go into the grocery store now and you can find stevia on the shelf. I think the large shopping store that has a little bit of everything in Jacksonville, there is an aisle which on this aisle they have coconut oil and they sell a substance called ghee. And they even have jars of duck fat. And they have all sorts of unique fats on this one little aisle, or the aisle is the same size, but this one little section on the aisle. So they have all the alternatives to all the vegetable oils that people normally use for frying and cooking with. And I always find it fascinating. I'm thinking, looky here. Evidently somebody was raised on duck fat or lard or coconut oil and they want it. Here it is. But they also have a bunch of different types of sweeteners. And so, yes, you can get the sugar cane, pure cane sugar. 10-pound bags, that's no problem. On the other side of the aisle, they have stuff called sucralose. And that's what they have in the section for people that have diabetes, or at least that's the way they have it organized at this store. But I noticed they sell stevia. Well, that's a sweetener. It is not artificial. It is natural. That means this stuff comes from nature. It comes from a plant. The plant's name is Stevia rebondiana. Totally butchered that, didn't I? Anyway, so that would be one option. Now, to me personally, Stevia has this very unusual bitter aftertaste that I don't care for. And every so often, I'll see a person, when they exceed the amount of stevia that their kidneys can handle, the net result is they urinate all night long. You know what I'm talking about. You go to bed, you wake up, and you say, great, I've been asleep for 1 hour, and now my bladder is telling me I have got to go to the bathroom. And so you go and empty it, and you come back, and 30 minutes later you go, are you kidding me? How can it be full again? And then you go to the bathroom again, and over and over and over throughout the night. Now you tell me, how are you going to have a good, restorative, refreshing night's rest if you cannot stay asleep and get into that deep, deep delta wave sleep? I don't think this has to be a big mystery or secret. Deep sleep is one of the greatest healers of all time. And so if you're consuming lots of stevia, well, if you're urinating a lot, because stevia is a source of oxalates or oxalic acid, in my mind, that might be just a little bit irritating to those kidneys at night. And so just remember, when you're asleep at night, your kidneys are supposed to be sleeping right along with you. They are not supposed to be working overtime. I don't think they really get paid overtime, do they? But they're not supposed to be working overtime processing toxins from the blood and forming urine. That is not a good combination to get up 5 or 6 times a night, is it? So under those circumstances, if you're one to get up multiple times a night to go to the bathroom, maybe stevia is something you want to steer clear of. Or if you've had a diagnosis of kidney failure. That would be if you have a lab test and your BUN is high. That's B-U-N. That stands for blood urea nitrogen. Very accurate marker. Your creatinine levels are above 1.4. That might be a clue the kidneys cannot do the job the way that God designed them to work efficiently, and they're struggling. So we pay attention to those things. But then the one marker called GFR, glomerular filtration rate, when that is below 60, even if it's a number 59, that is stage 1 kidney failure. So it is in your best interest not to add insult to injury. So if you like things that are sweet, and you've got kidney problems, I'm requesting that you steer clear of stevia. Now, there's another one. There's a substance called lohuan fruit. It's not quite as popular as stevia, but I can find this stuff on the store shelves, even in the large store that begins with the letter W here in Jacksonville. It doesn't seem to have the bitter aftertaste. And so if you really need something with some sweetness, you might want to look at what's called monk fruit. Now, there's other type of artificial sweetener, not artificial, but they're sugar alcohols. They're man-made, though. Or they're extracted in a facility. Yes, they come in nature. Where they get them from the birch tree, there's things like erythritol, xylitol, sorbitol, mannitol, malitol, gabagabatol. I made that last one. But when you get too much of those, the net result is diarrhea. It's just going to upset your gut. That's all there is to it. Now, I've been reading about this other sweetener. It's called allulose. It comes from corn via an enzymatic reaction. I don't know a lot about that. I don't think I've really seen that in use, but I'm reading about it. So as that becomes on or comes more online, to me it might be very, very interesting, because it says the research is showing that it greatly helps improve insulin resistance. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, that is the number one problem America has, is insulin resistance. And then there's a new natural sugar that they're extracting from apples and pineapples and oranges and raisins. It's called tagatose. And I haven't had the ability to test this one either or experience it. But supposedly it acts more like a fiber than it does a sugar. So they've noticed that you start to have these good natural alterations for the better of your microbiome or the gut microflora. The bacteria that live inside of your gut, you get more of the good guys and less of the bad guys. Just remember Romans chapter 12, verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So if you're going to put something in your body, rarely does eating a blueberry or a strawberry cause a diabolical disease to take place. No. And actually, God knows, you've got to have food if you're going to be able to keep your body in good repair, right? If you want to join me on the radio this morning, the phone line is open at 903-586-5257. As those natural sweeteners come out, the one called allulose and tagatose, I will be glad to see if I can gain some insight into how these things work and how good they are compared to, you know, artificial sweeteners that are made by a chemist in a lab somewhere. All right. Years and years ago, I had a flashback. I took the kids to Splash Kingdom, and I want to say that was in Garland, Texas. And the unique memory that I have is my daughter Jane did not use an ounce of sunscreen that day. But she had zero sunburn. I'll tell you the punchline in just a second. Good morning and welcome to the program. Are you there? Okay. Evidently we got a bad connection. Let's try that one more time. If you want to call me on the radio and ask me a question, especially related to health, you already know going into this that I have a very distinct bias. I'm totally given to any way that we can improve the body by natural means without putting a toxic chemical. That is the way to go. The number here is 903-586-5257. Good morning. Welcome to the program. Well, I have no idea why that's not working. Please, somebody try again. Let me test this again. I'm looking to see. I think I have all the buttons pushed right. So, 903-586-5257. Well, I'll give it another go, please. Or at least somebody call me. Let me test the phone lines. I realize the nature of electronics is sometimes things break or they don't work right, but if you'll call again, I just could not hear you. All right, good morning and welcome to the program. Okay, if you can hear me, I can absolutely not hear you, so evidently that's what we're dealing with today is the phone system is not working. So, you know, I apologize for that. Sorry about that. So we'll move on and go on to plan B here. I have no idea. Let me turn this off. Okay. Well, I'm pushing every button I can think of. Let me try that. Okay. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Well, hello. I gotta turn my radio down. I was just testing.
No, I'm glad you called and helped me with that. You're
there. We go.
There we go. Thank you. See, I was looking on this control board, and there was one little box that had a check on it. I said, well, maybe I'll press that button. So thank
you.
Well,
I got lucky.
You did me a huge favor. Thank you. Are you sure there's not something I can do to help you with?
Wait, yes. I've been diabetic since I was a little girl, 6 years old. Okay. I am 64 years old now. So I don't keep count of how many years I've been diabetic anymore. But anyway. Anyway, I am in great shape, but keep my blood sugars checked 6 times a day. You know, mm-hmm. I try to do it all right. But long story short, I was calling about the stevia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
And way back I used to use the all kinds of different sweeteners. I never eat sugar. But, kind of lying on that a little bit here and there.
Well, I know what you're getting. I mean, at least you're saying I'm making a concerted effort not to put sugar in my body to make matters worse.
Exactly.
Good girl.
But I started buying this, it's organic stevia. And my question is about the stevia, because there's all different kinds of stevia. Okay.
Well, they definitely blend other compounds like erythritol, things like that.
Right, because, I mean, I read ingredients, and this one says certified, this is the ingredients, certified organic stevia leaf extract.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only one I will buy.
What happens when you try the other ones that have a mixture of things like erythritol?
Well, I don't ever pay attention to what happens, but I only buy this one because of this.
Well,
and
do
I
you
thought,
think
well,
this
maybe,
one's...
maybe you might know, you know, things like, because I know I have a friend that uses monk fruit, but yeah, this might leave a little bitter taste, but hey, bitter taste don't bother me just so long as it's nothing else in it.
Well, do you think this is agreeable to your body?
As far as I know, it is. But yes, I get up during the night and go to the bathroom. And
how many times?
Probably 3 at the most.
Is that annoying to you?
Well, anything's annoying that gets me up out of bed.
Well, one thing that you could try is if you're going to have stevia, you have it before 2 o'clock and none after.
Do what?
You would only consume stevia prior to 2 p.m., like early afternoon.
Okay.
After that, let's just say that you have 3 glasses of herbal tea and they all have stevia in them. Well, if you do that after 2 o'clock, you're kind of asking your kidneys to work a little bit harder. And, of course, you know where I'm coming from. I mean, you're in this for the long game or the long play here. So, for 58 years, you have dealt with type 1 diabetes, and you've done a great job of it. So, we don't want to put unnecessary stress on the kidneys, so you might want to have your stevia prior to 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay, prior to.
Yeah. It's just an experiment, but you could try that.
Right.
And if you don't get up at all, hey, it's a home run.
Okay. Well, I'll give that a try because I want to do everything possible for my diabetes. But stevia is the only thing I buy because it doesn't have any other ingredient in it. If that's a true statement on this ingredient. that I read on here.
The one natural sugar that I have read about, I have no experience using it. It's called tagatose.
Okay.
T-A-G-A-T-O-S-E. And guess where they get it from? It's
where?
From apples and oranges and raisins. And it's becoming, it's supposed to become more commercially available. And what they say is, it's about 90% as sweet as sugar. So if you had a teaspoon of sugar, or you had a teaspoon of tagatose, but the beautiful thing about it is, it's exactly the same, it's the same construction or makeup as real sugar. So if I had a teaspoon of tagatose and a teaspoon of sugarcane sugar, you couldn't tell the difference. And
right.
So they stir the same way, they mix the same way. So when that comes online, that'll be interesting. But the bottom line is, it doesn't act like sugar does. It acts more like a fiber. So it encourages good, beneficial bacteria to grow in your gut, which is what you want. And it greatly improves insulin levels. All for the better. So that would be to your advantage, very advantageous.
Right, right. Okay, well, give tagatose.
Well, maybe you can look on Amazon.com. It's probably only $3 million an ounce right now, being it's brand new. I'm joking about that. I really don't know.
Right, I understand that, because this raw stevia, it's $60 a pound.
How long will a pound last you, though?
Well, see, this pound lasts, I buy two of these a year.
Okay.
Two a year.
And it works over the year.
Well, like I say, I might put a little bit on some, if I eat cereal. I don't normally eat cereal, but I might put just a little bit on that if I eat it. But I drink a lot of coffee. Let me say, I drink probably 3 cups of coffee every morning.
Do you feel like you have on any level a touch of anxiety?
I don't even know what anxiety means.
Well, then that's a great answer. That means you feel nervous and jittery and uneasy on the inside.
No.
So you like the way you feel. You're not in discomfort nonstop, are you?
No. Love the way I feel.
Well, see, one thing that I read recently that I find extremely intriguing to me is there's a B vitamin-like compound called inositol. And I was reading the research on this, and it was saying there's one substance that in some people, maybe not everybody, that causes the body to lose inositol, and it was drinking coffee. So I said, okay, I'm going to make a note of that.
Yeah.
But they're saying now that inositol prevents the buildup of all the mucus in the lungs. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is huge. Because, with this COVID-19 or the coronavirus, that is one of the hallmarks is when it gets people, they have clots form like crazy in their blood. And they have all this mucus where the oxygen from the air can't cross it. They have to be intubated or on a ventilator.
Yeah.
So, inositol.
Okay.
Which inositol tastes pretty sweet. Some people use that as a sweetener. It's just a B vitamin-like compound. Yeah, if I have a kid in front of me, I said, here, put this in your mouth.
Yeah.
It always tastes sweet. Inositol tablets.
And how do you spell inositol?
I-N-O.
I-N-O.
S-I.
S-I.
T-O-L.
T-O-L.
Mm-hmm.
Inositol. Okay.
But I'm going to be looking for that natural sugar called tagatose.
Okay. I will, too.
I would imagine 2 pounds would be more than 100. I'm just joking. I don't really know.
Well, I know. I understand that. But I've read the ingredients on monk fruit because I have friends that do that.
Yeah, and I would say 9 out of 10 women, when I ask them, which is your preference, stevia or monk fruit, they almost always say monk fruit.
Right. But when I read the ingredients, it has some long name in there that, okay, that's got an added ingredient.
Well,
so
sometimes they'll have things like erythritol or other type of alcohol sugars like xylitol, sorbitol, mannitol, malitol, gorbitol. I made that up. But it's got those alcohol sugars, and in some people it just gives them diarrhea and keeps their gut irritated. So I've seen some women have diarrhea that she couldn't stop for any reason. I said, well, look, you're consuming erythritol. Stop that.
Okay.
So those alcohol sugars, I'm not trying to say they're bad, but there's definitely a tilting point where you get too much of it.
Right.
Katie, bar the door. You're going to be running for the bathroom. Actually, you might not make it out of the bathroom that day.
Right. Okay.
I don't think you should take a bunch of xylitol right before you attend church services tomorrow. Because you normally do sit on the front row, don't you, so you can take notes?
I do.
You always take your notepad with you?
I do.
Do you only write down the things that you think are significant?
Exactly.
Do you ever tell the preacher afterwards, there was one point you made I want to discuss with you. It was this one right here. Got to give him some real-world feedback, right?
Oh, I'll give him a little bit.
Good.
But okay, well, I appreciate your information there. And,
you're sure welcome. When do y'all start full church services again?
Supposed to on the 17th.
That would be next weekend, right?
Yes.
Are they requiring a mask when you come back?
They have not said that, but I wear my mask everywhere I go.
Are they going to require some degree of separation between you and another human?
They said something about a little bit of separation, but that's all I know.
Are you going to greet anyone with a holy kiss on the 17th?
No.
Yeah, okay. I'm just curious.
No.
How about the day at the store?
I stay 6 feet away.
It's kind of hard to kiss somebody from that long range. Well, thank you so much for your phone call. You did me a great service today. I'm in your debt.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
For your show.
Have a good day, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Lord willing, the mystery or the problem has been solved. Thank you very much. The number here today is 903-586-5257. Please, please work. Is it working? Hi, I'm Dr. Morgan. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I called twice earlier, and I think you've got all the bugs worked out now.
Well, there was one small button that was not turned on, and so I've learned a lesson from it. So I'm going to be.
Isn't that interesting?
It'll be etched in my mind now. No, but thank you. I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to hang up on you.
Oh, I know that. But it was really good that I didn't get through because you did say something with a young lady you just were speaking with that may help.
Okay.
I called you a couple weeks ago about my wife. She has sinus problems. And also, it was MAC disease and bronchiectasis. And you were talking about the sinuses and getting a kettle, putting apple cider vinegar in there, and I forgot what the other ingredient is at the moment, and breathing that in for 10 minutes or so every day. And she had a question. Is she supposed to breathe in through her nostrils and out through the mouth, or does it matter? As long as you just don't breathe in and out through the mouth, because you have to get to the sinuses.
There is a... I'm going to try to make this sound simple. Under ideal circumstances, if your wife could breathe in through the nose and out through the nose clearly, that would be a home run of epic proportions to greatly enhance and improve her health. Now, I'm not trying to make a joke, but usually a tremendous insult or a slap to the face of another human being is to call them a knuckle-dragging, mouth-breathing Neanderthal. That's usually not complimentary. I mean, you would probably turn the other cheek if somebody called you a mouth breather, but that's usually the jab is, you know, you're not that bright because you're a knuckle-dragging, mouth-breathing Neanderthal. No, but you get my point. So it's the greatest benefit to your wife is to be able to breathe through her nose. Now,
good.
I cannot look at her face structure over the airwaves. But I'm going to tell you, when somebody has a sharply defined jawline and cheekbones and their jaw is not recessed, that's a very, very good sign. And so there's a concept that along the roof of your mouth, that is where your tongue should be every second of the day, except when you're eating, swallowing food, or you're talking or carrying on a conversation. And if the tongue does not properly fit to the roof of the mouth, then what you have is you have what's called a head-forward posture. And so a head-forward posture basically is when a woman or a man is standing up, upright, erect. If their head's just a little bit more forward, kind of hanging over the toes and what it should be, but that changes the dynamics of oxygenation to the body and the dynamics of breathing and how hard the body has to work. And so being able to press the tongue firmly and completely against the roof of the mouth. So the position and the alignment of the tongue is the key to solving sinus problems, or I'm sorry, it's one of the keys. And so what you may have your wife to do is she might type in on YouTube, tongue position and sinus problems or nasal breathing, and just see what she can learn from that. Because I have a feeling she's a genius. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Wait. Did you sort of hesitate just slightly when you said...
No. I didn't think so. My words. See, I'm not the genius, so I have to try to form my words. She would just give it to you like that.
Well, then you and I are the same boat then. I can cut you some slack.
And so, interesting. Yes.
But is she able to breathe clearly through her nose both ways? Not great, huh?
You know, we haven't really discussed how she breathes normally, but I do know she sounds a little bit nasal.
Okay. Well, we're not trying to pick on her. It's just it is what it is. And so, does she ever snore at night? Well, does she wake up with her mouth super dry and bad breath?
Not normally. Okay. I mean, there are moments from time to time where a little something, but it's not every night, and it's not even every month, for that matter. So I'd say no.
When someone can make great contact of the entirety of their tongue along the roof of the mouth, this is when you're going to have the fewest sinus problems.
Hmm. And as you say that, I'm putting my tongue to the roof of my mouth, and it only really makes contact there closer to the teeth.
Exactly.
The further back I go, it doesn't make contact at all. Like, cavity goes up, and my tongue doesn't really... I'd have to push my tongue up there.
If you will, I think the gentleman that's written more about this topic, well, one that comes to my mind is Dr. Mew, M-E-W, from... obviously, he's from Great Britain. Now, I really don't know if he's from Ireland or Wales or Scotland. I'm not that really adept on those unique dialects from those regions.
Hmm.
I know Tom Jones is from Wales. You know, what's new, pussycat? Whoa,
absolutely.
Whoa. I wonder how old he is now. He would have to be 80, right?
I have no idea. I know he's at least in his 70s, maybe a little bit older.
I'm guessing you're right.
He and I are close.
You mean as far as pen pals?
Yes. That's what I meant. Not really.
No, I'm joking. That's fine. Well, so tell me about your wife and her breathing treatments.
Okay, well, she's doing that now, and she comes out, and her face looks nice and glossy and shiny when she's done.
That's exactly my whole plan for her.
With all the steam coming up.
That's right.
She only makes it to about 6 minutes, and then she quits. That's better because she started out with 5 minutes, so there's great improvement there.
Well, would she say that there's some benefit to doing that?
She doesn't know yet. She was expecting something, but hasn't noticed anything.
Well, let's go on to Plan B then. If you can look up one of those videos by Dr. Mew, it's like M-E-W. It's like the sound that a cat makes, like meow.
Right.
Well, it didn't sound like Mew, but anyway, you know what I mean. And if you look that up on YouTube, just see if you can do his self-test on how you adequately press the tongue against the roof of the mouth. And what the prize is, her sinuses and her nasal breathing can become infinitely more open and clear than what they are right now just by doing that. But like anything else, it will definitely seem awkward at first. And so even as you yourself try this, you say, my tongue is touching, you know, just behind my front top teeth, but I do not feel the contact along the roof of the mouth. And so one of the exercises I think Dr. Mew has people do is take a piece of Hubba Bubba bubble gum. I'm not really sure if it's that. That's just what came to my mind. But you would actually practice using your tongue to press that to the roof of the mouth and flatten it. And that's a tongue strengthening exercise. Well, hey, I know I'm right about this, because what does it say about the tongue in the book of James? It is so powerful.
It
that
is
you
very
could,
powerful.
It's almost like you could turn a ship completely around just by using your dipping your tongue in the water, right? No, but that's kind of the analogy, how it steers things a certain direction, right?
Yep. I notice as I'm pressing my tongue up here, it's now lifting it up off the bottom of my mouth.
There you go.
Yeah. So thick enough to go both.
When you do this, the correct technique is to where you can have your rear molars make like contact. So basically, you close your mouth sufficiently to where your molars and your teeth make contact, and your lower jaw or the lower teeth will just be slightly behind your upper. So there will be a good fit where they make contact. And then your lips form a perfect seal. Under those circumstances, you can start to press your tongue against the roof of your mouth. Now, for most people, when you say the word ring, then that means the tongue has to touch the top of the mouth. So anything with an ing, of course, you might prefer to say bling or ring or ding, ding, mm-hmm. ding, but that makes the tongue touch the roof of the mouth. And so you can...
It does.
And then the other exercise that I think is interesting, if you were to take a sip of water and just hold it on the top of your tongue and then close your mm-hmm. teeth, you know, where they make contact and press your lips together or form a seal, then mm-hmm. you try to feel that water, because it's the job of the tongue to gather the water or the food that's in your mouth and move it along, you know, the conveyor belt to the back of the throat where you could swallow, and it could be moved along the esophagus and be, you know, moved down the conveyor belt until it gets to the stomach. But the tongue is one of the most incredible systems of all time. But all I'm doing is just trying to connect the dots. If the steam breathing treatments doesn't greatly help your wife, then we can go on to trying these tongue exercises. And the thing of it is, it doesn't take long. If she does these exercises for her tongue, in 2 weeks, she might say, "Why did Dr. Morgan not tell me this 2 weeks ago? I mean, come on, he knew this information and he withheld it." Okay, maybe I did. But she can try that and see if she can breathe.
Well, the question I had on the steam is 2 weeks enough time? And
absolutely, it's more than enough time. If that's not fixing
it. 6 minutes too little?
No, it's not.
Okay.
And I give her great applause for trying it for 6 minutes, because that stuff's hot. And it's not super comfortable. Now, the side benefit is she has a youthful glow about her after she comes out of the steam jacket, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
so if that technique, that was enough time, 2 weeks is enough time, 6 minutes is enough.
Okay.
I really don't have proof that 10 minutes is what it takes. That's just what I think of. But if somebody gets a result by doing it for 3 minutes, I'm saying, well, why do it for 7 more if you're happy? Go on and do the other things in front of you that you need to do today. Don't worry about that last 7 minutes.
Okay. Hey, but just before this, the young lady you were talking to earlier, talking about coffee and inositol, or however that's pronounced, that vitamin B.
Well, I call it inositol.
Inositol. Inositol, that's it. Thank you. I need to put the proper pronunciation marks above this. It prevents the buildup of mucus in the sinus, is that what you were saying?
Well, they're showing now, you know, I hope that what I'm saying doesn't come across as morbid.
Well, I'm thinking this may be part of the problem, that she does have buildup in her sinuses.
Okay. No. We're on the same page. But when I say I hope I don't come across as being morbid, when I read articles about people who have succumbed to the coronavirus and what the condition of their respiratory system is upon autopsy, I'm not trying to be, you know, somebody that studies death for the sake of saying this gives me pleasure, but it is interesting to me to understand the mechanism. And so they know there's a substance in the body called hyaluronic acid. Sometimes it's called HA for short. Now, when you have hyaluronic acid in your knee, oh, that's good, baby, because that gives you like this gel-like cushion and attracts water and moisture to your knee. Now, you'd say, well, doesn't that help lubricate the knee? I'm going, yes. And you know as well as I do, human beings do not outlive their joints. Because when you go back to church, you know, next week you'll hear about Mrs. Jones having a knee replacement or a hip replacement, right? That means the joint's plumb worn out. So, but one of the hallmarks of the reaction that takes place with this coronavirus is you get this buildup of hyaluronic acid. Now, you tell me, do you want to have a whole bunch of Jell-O in your lungs? The answer is no. Just like you don't want to have a bunch of Jell-O-like snot and gunk up in your sinuses. Uh-huh. And they're showing that this leads to blood clots, all sorts of other secondary infections. Anyway, that's too much information. But when I was studying about this, they're saying that this naturally, when they grow rice down in Katy, Texas, or along the coast in Louisiana, or maybe other locations like Mississippi, when they process rice, they're trying to take and get that husk off. Just like if I had a pistachio nut, I love to eat a pistachio, but I'm not going to eat it unless I can get that shell off of it, right?
Right.
Because if I try chewing up the shell, I might, damage something like in the tooth or something. But when they take and remove the outer husk or the bran off the rice so we can cook the rice and eat it, that's where inositol comes from. It's just a natural occurring B vitamin that comes from the, removing the husk or the bran or the fiber from the rice. And so I think that's pretty cool. So we know it's natural. But inositol prevents the buildup of excess hyaluronic acid and clotting. And so they have noticed that people that have very low levels of inositol are more prone to succumbing to the coronavirus. Now, in the real world, what I wanted to say is, one of the ways that in unique individuals they may dump or lose all their inositol is by drinking coffee. Now, I don't have a magic formula to know who these people are. I just know it happens. And so the term...
I don't either, but I live with one. She's a coffee drinker.
Is she listening right now?
No, but she will, because I'm going to try to...
Oh, then I've got really good things to say. I will never be critical she's... No, you know I'm going to be direct. I don't want to ever hurt a person's feeling or step on their toes. And so, thank you very much. I appreciate you for saying that. But the truth is, some people, they feel a bit uneasy on the inside. That's enough for me. If somebody in your house were to say, I just don't like the way I feel. You know, it can be either way. You could say, I feel really, really good on the inside. I'm happy. Or, I'm a bit uneasy and don't know why. Well, that can be inositol. And I have a child that if he drinks a lot of coffee, he does not feel right. And I think that's probably this mechanism at play. But inositol is one of the easiest supplements to give a person to see if all of a sudden they feel quite a bit happier.
Oh.
So it's just as simple as that.
So all I can go down to the granary?
Yes, absolutely. Well, not today you can't.
No. In 2 days I can.
That's right. You know, Wynn told me a while ago, he just called me on the phone, he said, I will open the doors for this gentleman on Monday morning.
Yeah, so, well, I'm going to go to the one here in Texarkana instead.
Oh, you're a northerner. I get it.
A northerner?
Well, northern Texas.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm south of you, what, 120 miles?
Okay.
I don't really know.
I come from very northern Illinois, above Chicago. I used to think that anything south of Chicago was the south. When I got to southern Illinois, I was in the deep south.
Oh, yeah. My goodness, you are a southerner. I got that all wrong. Please forgive me. Well, that's cool.
Transplant.
Did you have apple trees growing up everywhere when you were a boy?
Not on my property, but yes, there are apple trees up there.
And they do grow well there, right? What's your favorite apple?
Honeycrisp.
Honeycrisp? I like Fuji.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like they're a little bit harder. You know, the truth is, we've all gotten soft. People don't do manual labor. The jaws do not crush and grind, difficult food like apples and nuts like we used to. We don't crush and grind and chew. So the tongue has gotten really, really weak. There you have it.
Yes. Okay.
Well, thank you very much for your phone call today.
Thank you very much for all this great information.
You're welcome. I appreciate you, buddy. Have a good day in Texarkana.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, there's a phone line once again open. There's about maybe 4 minutes left. 903-586-5257 if you want to call and ask a question. You know, you've heard the phrase, an apple a day keeps a doctor away. You know, that may not be far off from the truth, because it presents a crunchy challenge to strengthen your jaw muscles and your tongue. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, how are you?
Fine. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. I'm so glad you called me today.
Really? I got a little rash on my behind, on the right, on the left side.
Is it on the cheek or is it right there in the middle?
Right on the cheek and right down below the cheek on the leg, on the thigh.
How long has it been there?
Oh, about a month.
Does it have any fluid-filled blisters at all?
No, it doesn't.
Is it just red and angry?
It's just red and angry and itch.
Okay. Are you want me to tell you what I would do if it were me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let me give you two or three ideas. Number one, I'm not saying you're going to like this, but I'm trying to figure out what's going to work to help the body resolve this. You could always take apple cider vinegar and just wipe that area down several times a day. You know what vinegar smells like?
Yes, I am. I'm familiar with that.
When you walk around the neighborhood, yes, flies and honeybees may follow you, but that's not my problem. But if you will wipe that area down with just plain Jane apple cider vinegar many, many times a day, let the vinegar air dry, and you can always see if that resolves it. Now, I always think that when there's rashes on the bottom that won't go away, you're eating something that might have too many pesticides in it. The one thing that I think of is called a strawberry. Is there any chance you're eating lots of strawberries?
Not a lot of them, but periodically I eat them.
Well, I would say between strawberry jam and strawberries, just cut them out for a little while and see if this rash starts to clear up also.
That sounds good.
The other thing that you can do is you could try cornstarch just to see if it'll dry it out. But one of my favorites of all time, but this one's messy, is you take a little bit of raw honey in your hand, if you want to add a little bit of water to it, and just rub it together. You're making like a little bit of a honey paste, and just rub that. But that takes probably a good 30 minutes for the skin over that area to kind of drink it up where it's not so sticky.
Yes.
But if you had some loose, you know, shorts on underneath, maybe that wouldn't be so bad. Have you had any other symptoms? Is there anything going on with your gut or your stomach at all?
Just big.
Well, that's not... But you're not telling me that you've had diarrhea or anything like that, right?
Oh, no, nothing like that. No diarrhea.
Wouldn't that be horrible to have diarrhea when you're in the middle of a sermon on a Sunday morning?
It sure would.
That would not be good timing.
No, that's not good timing. You raise your voice and try to get a grunt, and my God.
Well, thanks for your phone call. We're all out of time, but I appreciate
you. All right. Thank you, Deb.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.